In honor of 100 episodes, this episode is brought to you by 100 Farts.
Farts, courtesy of the Chamber of Farts.
So, the Chamber of Farts has another victim, eh? Don't be afraid. There aren't any ghouls here. Only farts!
Episode ever.
It's gonna be bad. It's gonna be terrible. There's gonna be so many people are just like, why? Why?
Exactly. That's why. Exactly. Anyway.
Oh man.
Hello, welcome to Hodge. Aww. Hello, welcome to Hodge.
Can't believe I did it twice.
Fucker. Hello, welcome to the Hodge Podcast, the official podcast of countryhodgepodge.com. I'm your host, Steve Hodge, and joining me, as always, is my co-host, cousin and lover, Kevin Hodge.
Hello!
Today we're going to be talking about Midland's unexpected fan, the CMA nominees for some reason, and then we're going to talk about the top 100, country songs of all time, as said by Rolling Stones.
As said by Rolling Stone, Rolling Stone. In 2014.
Yeah, 2014. So obviously Old Town Road is not on this list, sadly.
But actually, I have another list, and it's just Old Town Road and then all 100 remixes, so.
Old Town Road, 98 remixes, and then Hellright.
Yep, exactly. As number one. Hellright, everybody's
throwing down. Exactly. Anyway, first let's get into... I went on Twitter for like the 30 seconds I went on to post that thing of it's been 10 years since I got my first tattoo. I guess I should honor that anniversary by like getting another one or whatever I said.
Mm-hmm.
Because, yeah, exactly 10 years ago I got my cross. And I'm like, oh, I really want another fucking tattoo. Because actually recently I've been designing tattoos. I'm just like, I want to get this one, and I want to get this one, and
mm-hmm.
I want
to get this one. Seriously, I have been thinking about it a lot lately.
Yeah, I really want another one, so I'll be getting another one hopefully by the end of the year. But while I was on there, I saw like Midland tweeted out like, "Oh, proud to be part of, I don't know, Bieber Nation or whatever," because Justin Bieber tweeted out like, "We're loving the album over here." And it was funny because like, I went to the page, I was just like, oh, that's kind of weird that Justin Bieber's a Midland fan. But then again, I mean, despite the fact his music isn't, I don't like it, he is very musically talented, so it's not surprising that he would like, you know, a talented band, even
in
his country.
I mean, and plenty of people like a variety of different genres, so it's not too surprising to me.
Yeah,
he's Canadian.
Sure. Yeah, so he should be a Colt 12 fan. But I went to the tweet, and I was just like, oh, that's kind of weird. And, like, all of the fucking Bieber stands, I was surprised they weren't like, oh, great taste, Justin, I love you. They were like, ew, really? Oh, that's disgusting. Ah, boo. And then, like, some were saying, like, some were saying, like, Scotty, stop tweeting or something. So I'm guessing his Twitter person's name is Scotty or something, because they're like, everyone's like, Scotty, stop saying, or Scooter, or whatever the fuck his name. They're like, stop saying this, Scooter.
Scooty.
Stop ruining Justin's Twitter and all like. Ugh. And of course it's so funny because all of like the Twitter people responding are their Twitter handles like love Bieber, like Bieber for life, like it's all those fucking just stans who are just psychotic.
It makes no sense to me that mindset of just like, I am going to create this Twitter account and all I'm going to do is just scour the internet for things related to Bieber and just follow everything that Bieber ever does. And this is how I'm going to use, like, all of my adult time. Like, what are you doing?
Yeah, exactly. I don't understand stans. It's like, even though we're diehard fucking Bears fans, it's not like our Twitter handles are like, Bears for life, or Urlacher is my slut. Like, shit like that. It's like
Bear Lover 69. Might get some weird cross
messages. Yeah, you get
some
weird
messages
with that one. Can we just make a shirt that just says Bear Lover 69 on it? But with a football underneath it to not confuse people.
But then also have like a bear in a leather jacket so that it's even more confusing.
Yeah, holding the football.
I don't know. It can go so many different ways.
Yeah, but I just find, like, even, because I'd be like, yeah, if we may, like, I guess we're quote-unquote, like, country stands, because we always talk about it, but it's not like we're going on and tweeting at every single person who badmouths Cody Jinx being like, fuck you, you don't get it, he's the best ever.
Yeah, I think there's a, like, we just have there's a special of level everywhere. Of psycho. Yeah, there's a special level of psycho that you, like, name search somebody and just... Yep. I was talking, and you were talking, and then everything went to shit. What I was saying is that those who, like, just literally name search, like, not just I follow things and it's on my timeline, but, like, I'm going to just search Bieber, and I'm just going to scroll through all these tweets, and I'm just going to start attacking people who don't agree with the fact that he is a messiah. It's like, okay, man, let's just take a chill.
Well, like, again, it's like when I tweeted out that, like, Kane Brown sucks or whatever, and for all of you Kane Brown stands, hello, because it's exactly what happened. There's, like, 10 fucking Kane Brown stands who replied, like, oh, hi, asshole, like, oh, go fuck yourself. Like,
you dare use your First Amendment rights in my country?
Oh, God, it's the worst. But, anyway, back to what we were, it's kind of cool that someone of international fame like that was like shouting out Midland.
Yeah, it's one of those things that anytime someone of that stature gives them a shout out, just the fact that that many more people are just going to be able to see them and like become aware of them that they, you know, weren't before, it's just always good.
Even though Doug is Midland, but
Luke is Midland.
Luke is Midland. God damn it. That's right. Damn
Never me. Forget that Luke is Midland.
I need to make that shirt just Luke.
Yeah.
But yeah,
I feel like that won't get taken down because Midland could be, it could be the place. It could be just a random land that is in between.
Yeah. I don't think they could trademark the word Midland because that's
as long as we didn't have anything that like had
related to them, I guess.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. That's safe. Yeah.
Yeah. All right. So I've thrown up the entertainment, whatever, or the nominees or whatever.
Yeah,
we were going to record yesterday, but I got home late from work because work is work and work.
And Lucas Midland.
But so Kevin texted me today. He's like, so the CMA nominees came out, I guess. And I was just like, oh, I guess we could talk about that.
We never
watched them. Or
yeah, I don't. I really don't care because I recognize that there are awards designed for the mainstream fans and the mainstream artists, and it's just all based on mainstream life. So I get it. I do. But there were some things that were kind of odd. Old Town Road was nominated for musical event, which I don't really give a shit. That category has been nonsense even more than the rest of the awards for a while, I feel like. But then the thing that I thought was funny was, Cody Johnson was nominated for Best New Artist, which again, I understand that the mainstream is like, oh, we're going to give a nod to a person who's kind of breaking into the national sphere. And I get that. It's just, to me, it's aggravating because it seems like it's diminishing everything he's done thus far and kind of being more in the sense of your career doesn't exist or matter until we care about it. And then when we care about it, now your career is starting. And that's what I don't like. But again, I don't really give a shit because the awards are stupid and I understand why they do the things that they do. I still reserve the right to be kind of annoyed by it.
Yeah, I mean, because it would be like, because I always think about it with, like, when I think of, like, the Oscars, granted, I don't give a shit about those either, but it would be, in this case, it would be, like, if Christopher Nolan was nominated for Best New Director after Dunkirk. It's like, you forgot about the other ones he's done? Like,
yeah, it's just a fact of, especially when you're someone like Cody Johnson who had a legitimate following for a while anyway. You know, if it was legitimately someone like say Stapleton. Stapleton was releasing some music, but he was mostly writing for a really long time. So that when he became part of the scene as a performer, I feel like that made more sense. It was like, oh yeah, the dude's been in the business for years, but now he's actually out and touring as a solo act, so like that's why it's a different thing. So I get that part of it. And your face is really frozen in a funny way. Well.
All right, there you are. Good old internet. That means the neighbor is on his porn habit tonight.
Yeah, guess can't find any window of time where the neighbor isn't destroying the internet.
Yeah. Yeah, so for those listening, every time it's like Kevin loses connection, it's because when I was living out there, we always lost internet connection randomly because, like, the Mediacom person, which is the internet supplier out there, he, like, checked the box or whatever, and he's just like, yeah, just one neighbor is bogarting all of the fucking, like, internet. And so we always joke that it's he just goes on porn benders and just take yeah, just
it's the only thing the that because it's this time of night. It's like the 8:30 or more like 8-ish to like 10:30 is when the internet will just crash constantly. And I've had them come out a bunch of times and check it out, and every time they're just like, yeah, and all the equipment's fine. It's just the like signal strength is getting throttled by someone, and I'm like, well, what the fuck. Can't you do something about it?
Yeah.
Nope.
They can, but they won't.
Oh, exactly.
They definitely can.
They won't.
But yeah, so the nominees, I thought it was so interesting, that tweet that you sent out where it was just like, of the last 45 nominees, only 15 of them have been, it's only been, or it's been 13. 15 different people or whatever. 13.
13. It's been 13 unique artists over 45 total nomination slots.
Yeah, because I'm looking at the nominees. It's Garth Brooks, Carrie Underwood, Eric Church, Keith Urban, and Chris Stapleton. I'm pretty sure we're all nominated last year. Like,
it's pretty close. I remember I was surprised a little bit here and there when people would pop on, pop off. But I could have kept going further, and it would have been still ridiculous. It's just that the 9-year window was the most crazy because I thought 13 of 45 was more shitty sounding than 15 of 50. But then again, 15 of 50 also sounds shitty because they just added only two more out of five potential ones for another year. It's like Luke Bryan has been nominated like 10 times in the last fucking whatever. It's ridiculous.
Yeah. But the interesting one, as we already said, Cody Johnson was up for it, is the like the new artist or whatever. It's also Midland, Morgan Wallen, Carly Pierce, and Ash McBride. Wasn't Ash McBride up for it last year?
Yeah, so I realized that, too. I started looking back through the historical thing, and artists are routinely nominated for that 2 years in a row, and that's, like, part of the rules eligibilities that you can be nominated for it more than once for whatever reason, which is just a weird thing to do for a best new artist. It's like, well, if they've done something enough in a year to be warranting a nomination, the next year they're just further establishing themselves if they're worth nominating again. So it's really not new. I don't know. I think it's dumb. I think everything's dumb though. So there's that.
Like, I feel like Morgan Wallen is up for it. Like, I mean, I understand that one cause he probably only has one fucking album out if I had to guess. And then probably. Like Carly Pierce, she became popular. Like, she didn't have a huge following until Every Little Thing came out. And then Ash McBride, she didn't have a big following until whatever her album was came out. But like we said, Cody Johnson, that's just a fucking weird one. And the Midland, it's only their second album that's out now, so I guess that's
But they were also nominated last year too, so it's like, all right.
Yeah. But then moving on to male vocalist, it should just either go to Luke Combs or Chris Stapleton. The other three shouldn't even be there. I mean, I like Dierks Bentley's voice, but compared to Luke Combs and Chris Stapleton.
Oh, that's for sure.
It's like, hey, fucking University of Iowa is up against the Patriots and the fucking Steelers in the Super Bowl. Like, who's going to win?
Yeah.
But then Keith Urban and Thomas Rhett, both their voices suck, so it's really...
Yeah, and Keith Urban just keeps getting nominated for things, and I don't understand why. It absolutely blows my mind.
Vocal duo of the year. I wouldn't doubt if it goes to fucking Dan Shay because they, I think, put out an album. Actually, Brooks and Dunn, maybe. But Brothers Osborne is obviously the front runner there.
Yeah.
Let's see.
Yeah. Brand new man should go for musical event because that's the Cody Johnson Brooks. No, that's Luke Combs and Brooks and Dunn.
Yep.
I'm okay with that one. Mac McAnally for a musician, as always.
Yeah, it but seems like they just keep giving him the award, and I don't understand what's the point of the award if they just keep giving it to him.
It's like when Olin Kreutz would go to the Pro Bowl every year, even though it's like, just because he went there, people know his name. It's like, yeah, Olin Kreutz can go again.
Yeah, it's like, let him go again. It's his thing.
But yeah, anyway, so we're still not going to watch. I don't even know when they are. I don't care.
Neither.
When they have the winners, we might mention it. Who knows?
Yeah, no, I didn't even realize that it was a thing until I just checked Twitter randomly, and I was like, oh, this is a thing? Okay.
Isn't this also the one where they kicked out Brad Paisley to have two more women host or whatever instead?
Yeah, but it's also Reba and it's Reba and Dolly Parton though. So I mean,
well, yeah, I'm not upset with who it was, but isn't that like the thing? It was like it's the year of women or whatever, kind of.
Yeah, something like that.
Just to try and be like, no, we're not sexist. I swear.
Well, that's the part that's hilarious. Is like they. The nominations didn't look any different than a normal thing. Yeah, like, Entertainer of the Year, they had Carrie Underwood in there, but I think she was the only woman, which was weird because Kacey Musgraves literally won a Grammy, like the big Grammy this year, and then Maren Morris has been doing shit too, so it just seems like a weird choice. If you were going to do all the whole women thing, like, why not just fucking load it up?
I know, that's what I was thinking. I was like, I'm surprised Maren Morris isn't there, or like, I don't know if the High Woman is nominated for a thing, I didn't pay attention, but it's like, those are two things that they haven't shut up about for the past like 5 months. You think that would be pretty predominant?
Yeah,
I
don't know, I really didn't look at the nominations to be completely honest, more than the, when I was looking into the Entertainer of the Year thing, and then when I saw the new artist, I'm like, that's just weird.
Yeah.
But, like you said, I'm not going to watch it, so I don't really care.
Yeah, who gives a shit? Anyway, let's move on. We got 100 songs to talk about this week. I'm not putting any of the fucking songs in because I'm not editing 100 songs into a fucking
podcast. Well, and this would just be the longest podcast in the world, and No.
Yeah. So, we decided, when we did the Luke Combs episode way back when, we did Rolling Stone's list of the top 100 artists of all time, and we talked about that for a little bit, so we're like, you know, for 100, we were going to do just like a top 100, just random list of like top 100 pies or something like that. But it would have been a joke that got stale after about 5. And they're like, well, we still have 95 to talk about. Mm-hmm. So let's do it. And so we're like, all right, fuck it. Let's do an actual country thing. So we decided, in honor of the fact that we did the 100 artists, let's do the top 100 songs, according to Rolling Stone, which I'm sure we'll disagree with some of it. We don't know a lot of them. But we never claimed that we know a lot, so.
Yeah, oh yeah, no, that's a good thing to preface, is that there's going to be plenty that we probably skip over that people be like, why didn't you talk about them? It's like,
I mean, granted, the majority of them are going to be like pre-1985, and it's just like, I've never even heard of that artist, but I'm sure the song is good, like, so. So let's just hop into that. First up is at 100 is Brad Paisley's Welcome to the Future. I'm surprised it's on the top 100, but I do love this song. Like,
yeah, no, it's a good song. I would agree in the sense that even, you know, when you're in 2014 looking backward when, you know, this list was created, it seems like, and again, I don't remember if there are other Paisley ones on this list, but that is not the one that I would think of to be like, yeah, no, that's one of the best 100 of all time, for sure.
Yeah, I mean, it's cool because if you just kind of think about it's, rather than it being his, or it's not even his biggest hit, it's not even probably a top 10 biggest hit for him, but the subject material of it's just like what the world used to be and how far we've come, that's a pretty cool subject.
Yeah, no, it's for sure is. And I agree, and I do like it as well, but yeah, it's a little bit of an interesting choice.
Yeah, it's surprising for a top 100 of all time list, but mm-hmm. Next is Harry Choate's. I didn't even read that before. Harry Choate's Jolie Blonde. All I know about this one is this song is on Waylon Jennings' Nashville Rebel compilation, so yep. I don't know what he has to do with it or whatever, but it's on that list, so I don't
know. I'm guessing Harry Choate's did it first, and it's his song, and then Waylon just covered it, if I had to guess.
Yeah, that'd be my guess. According to legend, he sold Jolie Blonde for $100 and a bottle of whiskey and died at the age of 28. All right. Fun. Anyway, next is 98, which is C.W. McCall's Convoy.
I love this song.
I was going to say, this is one we definitely know, because everyone knows this fucking song. They may fucking Convoy! Simpsons and everything. Yeah.
Yeah.
It's a
it's a classic. It's a great...
It's a trucking song.
Well, so that's the thing I was going to say before we got too far into this list. A lot of the songs that are on this list are on that, like, multiple CD pack, the whatever we listen to on in the truck up to Hayward as kids is, like, the, country... Solid Country Gold or some, you know, shit like that, like a 1980s multiple CD pack of classic country. A lot of the songs on this list were on that, and so that's where I know a lot of them from.
Nice. Next is 97, Gretchen Wilson's Redneck Woman.
Wow.
This is another one that's like, it's such a hit from, it's from 2004. Like, I do remember hearing it all the fucking time.
Oh, it was like a Shania Twain thing. Like, gets the fucking people going.
Yeah, it was a woman anthem, so I understand. Like, I don't know if it's a top 100 of all time, but for that period of time, I understand it.
Yeah, I can understand it as well. I agree completely, because I don't really care to listen to it that much, but I understand people that did. Yeah.
Alright, I don't know if you're still talking or not.
I am not.
Okay. My fucking page crashed and I had to reload it because go internet.
Yay.
So next up is number 96 is Ronnie Millsap's Smoky Mountain Rain.
That's classic. Yeah, it's a great classic.
I think they play it at the Tennessee football games now. I could be wrong, but I'm pretty sure they do. But
I would believe it.
95. Yeah, 95, Bellamy Brothers' Old Hippie. This one I don't know. I mean, I might not
have heard this. It. Yeah, I've heard this one before. It's a good song.
94's Dwight Yoakam's Guitars Cadillacs. Now, this one definitely deserves to be on a top 100 country
song. I do love this song. It's the song that I think of when I think of Dwight. That's just the way I am.
Exactly. Next, 93, Tom T. Hall's Old Dogs, Children, and Watermelon Wine. I don't know this one. It's from 1972.
Yeah, Tom T. Hall's great, but my favorite Tom T. Hall song is the year Clayton Delaney died. So I don't remember if that's on here later, but if it's not, that song should be on here, because Tom T. Hall's a legend, and the year that Clayton Delaney died. Clayton Delaney just died, all right?
Fuck you, Clayton Delaney. Rotten hell. Number 92 is Juice Newton's Queen of Hearts. I don't know this one either.
No, me neither.
It said Juice Newton had been releasing a steady output of solo pop and rock material, so that's probably back when people were yelling. It's probably another one of those, why is this a country song type things.
Yeah.
91, Garth Brooks' Friend in Low Places. Obviously, classic. It deserves to be on the list at some point because that's one of the most well-known country songs of all time.
And it has staying power. People are going to be singing that song drunk forever.
Oh, yeah, exactly. 90, Ray Wiley Hubbard's Redneck Mother.
Yep.
I probably know this one. I can't think of it right now, though.
Yep. Jerry Jeff Walker covered it, and I think of that version more, to be completely honest. And I know that people will yell blasphemy, but that's just the case.
89, Gary Stewart, She's Acting Single, I'm Drinking Doubles. Love. Mm-hmm. I've only heard the covers of this one. I don't think I've heard his version.
He's got a great voice. He's a legend.
So I'm trying to think of who it was who covered it that I know it by. It might be like, it actually might be Brooks and Dunn. I could be wrong.
I do not know.
I'm not sure, but I've heard the song covered. I don't know that version, but it's a great song. The line of "She's acting single, so I'm drinking doubles."
Yep, absolutely.
Face of that.
Yep.
Yeah. Next is 88. Jerry Jeff Walker's "Desperado's Waiting for a Train."
Jerry Jeff is great. I don't know this one specifically. I don't believe. But I do love me some Jerry Jeff.
Yeah. 87, Lyle Lovett's If I Had a Boat. This is the great cover of Jason.
Exactly. Yes. Yeah, I don't really know this one, though.
Yeah. If I Had a Boat, rose from a true story. He once tried to ride a pony across a pond. He wished he had a boat. Okay. It's pretty funny.
All right. Cause and effect, sure.
86, Donna Fargo's The Happiest Girl in the Whole USA. I don't know the song. Nope. I might have heard it, but I don't know it. 85, O.B. McClinton's Don't Let the Green Grass Fool You. I don't know it, but that's a sweet line.
It's
a really cool line.
Absolutely. And I'm sure, and all of these that we say that we don't know, I bet that all these classics are classics. It's just, there's a whole lot of country history where we weren't alive.
Yeah, we're definitely not historians. We're definitely up to date on the modern stuff, but the classics.
Yeah, I would say I have a decent understanding with a variety of songs that are in my brain under the category of if I heard it, I'd be like, oh yeah, I know that one. I've heard that one. I don't know what it's called or who does it, but I know that and I like it.
Yeah,
there's a million 84... songs my dad plays.
Yeah, 84, Nico Case, People Got a Lot of Nerve. I'm not sure on that one.
I know of her, but yeah, I don't...
Yeah, I know Nico Case, but I don't know...
Couldn't have told you a song by her
if
you asked me to.
Website crashed again.
See, I'm telling you, the Rolling Stone website is dicks.
Well, it's because this fucking Miranda Moss is on this article, that's why. 83 is Bobby Bear's Streets of Baltimore. I think I know that one.
I really like Bobby Bear's voice, but I do not know if I know this.
But I don't know. Freezing.
I was going to say, I could hear you, but I couldn't see you.
82, Reba McEntire's Fancy. That's a classic for sure.
Absolutely. Fucking love that song.
Yeah. 81, Gary Allen's Songs About Rain.
It was great. There's honestly, there's a lot of Gary Allen songs, so I could put a lot of things there.
Yeah, I'm surprised it's Songs About Rain that they chose, but it's a fantastic fucking song. So
yeah, it is.
Do like it.
Yeah, that's right.
Who has help? Hits by Taylor Swift, writer for Taylor Swift, said Songs About Rain changed her career. If it wasn't until I heard the Gary Allen single that I could really say I was a songwriter. Oh, that's kind of cool.
Yeah, that's neat.
Number 80 is John Anderson's Wild and Blue. Straight Tequila Night is a much better song.
Straight Tequila Night. I love Seminole Wind's probably my favorite John Anderson song.
It's also a classic one.
Yeah.
Number 79 is Garth Brooks' The Dance. That's a
great,
amazing song.
Oh. So good.
I'm surprised it's higher than Friends with Low Places, but it is.
I think it's a better song. You know,
yeah,
Friends in Low Places is great for so many occasions, but the dance is a better song.
Yeah, that's true. Oh god, this song is terrible. Number 78, Roger Miller's King of the Road.
I love this song.
It's a fantastic song.
Did I tell the podcast about how this was the song that the guy on 4th of July played when I was really drunk and I harassed him for the rest of the night, thanking him for playing one good one?
Yep, you did say that. Number
77, and don't you forget it.
Martina McBride's Independence Day.
Yeah.
I don't know this. I might know this one.
Yeah.
I'm not 100% sure.
You would know it if you heard it.
Whatever happened to Martina McBride?
I thought she was, like, relatively older back when she was popular. I thought she was, like, in her 40s
in her 40s, but I was just like, she doesn't really... I don't hear anything about her anymore.
Well, maybe just wanted to be done. I mean, shit, get into your 50s, call it a day. She probably made a buttload of money.
I was going to say, she was super popular mid-2000s. Like,
yeah,
she was
this was one of the really big ones. You'd recognize it if you heard it.
Probably. Number 76, definitely deserves to be on this list, is Jamie Johnson's In Color.
I think it should be higher on this list, but yes, tremendous song.
This is one of the, honestly, it is one of the best country songs of all time.
Yeah, so I think it's probably the best one that got released between, 2000 and 2010. I think it's absolutely incredible. Yeah.
Yeah. I was thinking about this. We should, for episode 200, we should do our own top 100 and be the best.
Just start working on it now so that we actually, have a thoughtful list.
pretty much 75, Charlie Rich's Behind Closed Doors. I'm not sure if I know that one.
I know Charlie, but this is blanking on me.
Number 74, Lucinda Williams' Passionate Kisses.
I don't know that one.
I know Lucinda as well. Wait, there we go.
Never oh, God, my version of Yahoo search is out of date!
73. God damn it. Fucking thing. There we go. Nope. That's 74 again.
Nope.
73.
Nope.
Dolly Parton's Coat of Many Colors.
Oh, so that's a great one. That's a classic. Absolutely.
We've talked about it before. Mm-hmm. 72 is D.L. Menard's The Back Door, La Porte en Arrière. I don't.
Nope.
Definitely don't know that one. 71, Alabama's Mountain Music. Classic.
Classic. Did Amazing. You know that my dad and my your dad too. Saw them in the King County Fair Final?
Final Fair. Okay, God Fair. Number 70, Leanne Womack's I Hope You Dance. We talked about this on the Mother's Day episode along with the Dolly Parton song. Fantastic.
Yep.
Even though this was one of those controversial, like, it's pop, what are you doing? It's pop.
Yeah, but she anyway. Belts it out.
Yeah. 69, hey, is Tammy Wynette's D-I-V-O-R-C-E, divorce, obviously, spells.
Yeah. That's a classic.
Yeah. Number 68, John Prine's Angel from Montgomery.
Yeah, I started getting really into Prine lately, but, I've been diving through a lot of his old stuff. I cannot think of this one, but there's like a million, not a million, because that's too many songs, but there's a couple old Prine albums my dad told me to listen to that I got a bunch of them stuck in my head, but I have not remembered what song is what. It's just a whole bunch of them. Like, I remember random bits of choruses that were incredible.
Yeah, there's so many like that where it's just like, yeah, I've listened to all these albums like 10 times. I can't tell you which or what songs, though.
Yeah, no, you should, speaking of that, everyone should go check out Bruised Orange by John Prine. It came out in like 72 or something. It's real good.
Nice. 67, Loretta Lynn's The Pill, which was a very controversial.
Oh, yeah.
Because that's the one where it's talking about getting on birth control. And
because... Well, at first I was thinking, like, she had some song about like drug addiction. I was like, oh, nope.
No, yeah, it's about birth control and how it was very controversial back then.
Controversy.
Yes. Number 66, Roseanne Cash, 7 Year Ache. Don't know that one.
I don't know about that. Yeah, I don't think so.
65, This guy's a nobody. I don't know why it's on here. Merle Haggard's Okie from Muskogee.
I will murder you all. Fucking love Merle. Welcome to the list, Merle. I know you're on here later as well.
Yeah. 64, Patsy Cline's I Fall to Pieces.
That's a good one. I know the... I'm trying to think of the one that I always think of because of the fact that I just, you know, don't listen to Patsy Cline all that often. This is on that the Jamie Johnson where he does the album with all the covers with all the people.
Hmm.
You know, that, remember that one?
Yeah, kind of. But
yeah, it was
much.
The like tribute to a song or whatever.
Oh, Hank Cochran or whatever.
Yes, the Hank Cochran album.
Yeah, okay. 63, George Jones, The Race Is On. Was that one on the episode we talked about him?
Yep, I'm pretty sure. I think I had it at 10 because I was like, it's a great one. I don't really listen to it that much, but I like it's really indicative of the era for sure.
Hmm. Yeah. Number 62, Emmett Miller's Lovesick Blues. I don't know that one. It's from 1928.
Well, that's back there, you know. It's probably the same Lovesick Blues that's been covered that I've heard. Like, I know
probably
like Hank the Third had a cover of it, and he would be the kind that would cover something like that.
Let's see. A couple decades before Lovesick Blues came in number one hit. Yeah, Hank Williams covered it, but this is the first one that came out of it. It was a cover of it.
Yeah.
Number 61. God damn it, fucking website. Fuck you, Rolling Stone. And fuck your writers. 61 is Ray Price's Crazy Arms. God damn it. Stop fucking with me.
Yeah.
I can't scroll past it. It keeps just going back to the same song.
It just really wants God you to acknowledge it. Ray Price. God damn it. Website.
Right.
Yeah, I know this is one of them classics that I've heard a lot, but I can't think of it, to be completely honest.
Jesus Christ, hold on. It's like literally I'm scrolling at 61, and it just keeps going right back to 61 as I'm trying to scroll
past it. You know, that sounds like you know, at least a little bit of hope that my iPad isn't a complete bag of dicks, because if it's struggling on modern equipment, if it's struggling with modern equipment, I think their website just sucks dicks.
Yeah, fuck Rolling Stone. Number 60, Tennessee Ernie Ford, 16 tons. I don't think
no
I
clue.
That one. 59, Marty Robbins, El Paso.
Oh, I love
I
it.
Know Marty
the
Robbins.
Gun.
I don't.
The,
do I know
the,
that one?
Yes, out in the West Texas town of El Paso, I fell in love with a Mexican girl. Classic. Absolute classic. Gunfighter ballads. Love it.
Number 58, Jeannie C. Riley, Harper Valley PTA.
Mm-hmm. This is a good one. It's neat. It's from the perspective is the singer like talking about like as a kid and like basically all the people in town like giving her mom shit, like saying that she's like scandalous and shit because she wears like tight fitting shit or whatever, and she's like a single mom. And so then everyone's like giving her a hard time and making life difficult, and then she like goes to the PTA meeting, you know, the school meeting, and just like rips them all apart and like calls them out on their bullshit. Like, this nice. Guy is a drunk and whatever, and like that guy's sleeping with her, and like just eviscerates the room and then walks out. It's really good.
That's awesome. I'll have to listen to that one. 57 is Eric Church, Springsteen. Fucking
great song.
Classic.
Yep.
Classic,
great song. Classic. Great song.
Yeah, that's definitely. I think that's probably the one that really made his career explode.
Yes, because that became a song where people would say, "I don't really care that much about, you know, say country music," but then they listen to this and it really opens their mind. And they start checking out different things. I know a lot of I know a lot of people that I've hooked onto country music through Eric Church, and like that's the perfect song to be like, "Hey, check this guy out, you'll like him," and then they just get into the whole thing.
Yeah. Actually, I was listening to the podcast Threedom. I don't really listen to it that much anymore, but they're talking about like, oh, like they made fun of country, but then like, yeah, but really I kind of like a few country songs. And then one of them was mentioned Springsteen was hers, and I was like, yeah, there
you
go. Yep.
Absolutely.
Number 56 is Carrie Underwood's Before He Cheats, which is one of those fucking fuck yeah girl anthems.
I can get that it is on the list because of what, like, it was super popular, but
yeah,
this song really bugs me.
Yeah, that's not great. Number 55, The Flatlanders, Dallas. Don't know that one.
I know of that band. It was my dad really liked them. They're like a bluegrass band.
54, Brad Paisley's Alcohol. That's actually one of my least favorite fucking Brad Paisley songs.
It's one
great
of those that
song.
Yeah, and I feel like it had a lot of staying power because of the, like, I don't know, I can't even remember all the lines, but I feel like it was one of those ones that stuck around on the charts and the music video channels for a while. So I get it, but I agree completely that there are better Paisley songs.
Yeah. 53, Charlie Pride's Kissin' Angel Good Morning.
Oh, what a song.
Fantastic classic song. Everyone should know. Yep. 52, Flatten Scruggs' Foggy Mountain Breakdown.
That's the fucking banjo shit, you know?
Nice.
It's a really famous banjo lick that you'd recognize if you heard it.
Yeah, for sure. I mean, yeah, a lot of these I guarantee I'd recognize, but it's just like I don't know them by name and all that. 51 is Johnny Cash's Folsom Prison Blues, obviously a huge classic.
Oh, absolutely. Like, kind of interesting that it's this high, really.
Yeah. Just a bunch of fucking ads. Okay. What the fuck? All right. Just gets a, what are we on, 50?
Well, their website sucks so much, they're trying to get as much ad revenue as they can to, I don't know.
Yeah. 50 is Steve Earle's Guitar Town. Steve Earle.
I don't know that one, to be honest. I don't think
I know either. And the website crashed again.
Now I gotta sit here thinking about whether or not I don't know that song by Steve Earle.
I think the cover photo for this, I should just put that off snap folder as the picture.
I like it. Like, I really do.
Really, in really crappy digital font, it'll be the title of the episode, like Rolling Stone's Top 100 Country Songs.
I like it. I like it.
Yeah. Number 49, the Louvin Brothers, The Christian Life. I do know the Lovin' Brothers.
Yeah, they're the super back in the day, right? I believe.
Yeah. Yeah, because this is from 1959.
Yeah, because I think they did the Satan Is Real song that Hank III incorporated into his one album.
Mm.
Pretty sure it was them.
Nice. 48, Willie Nelson's Blue Eyes Crying in the Rain.
Oh, that's fantastic, a classic. Fantastic, welcome fantastic, to the fantastic. List, Willie.
Willie. 47, Bobby Gentry's Ode to Billy Joe. I don't know this one.
I don't know this one either. I feel like I should, though.
It's 1967, so I don't think it's about Billy Joe Shaver, though.
Yeah, I don't know.
46, Roy Acuff's Wabash Cannonball.
The Wabash Cannonball.
Wabash Cannonball.
That's referenced in the Who's Gonna Fill Their Shoes? Who's Gonna Play the Opry? In the Wabash Cannonball.
Oh, there you go. 45, Lefty Frizzle's Long Black Veil.
Lefty Frizzell, god damn it. This is the best murder ballad. This is the best one.
I was gonna say, wasn't this on our list for murder ballads?
Yes. I don't remember if I actually put it at number one or not, but I think I did. Maybe.
It might have but been it's, one or two, I don't
yeah,
know.
This is I mean, it's a fucking classic. I love this song.
Yeah, the guy who won't say his alibi because he was banging his friend's wife.
Yeah.
Like,
so
that's such a great fucking...
So he takes the punishment and dies. And then she's walking through the graveyard with a black veil on because he's dead. And it's just like, damn, son.
Yeah, it's so great. 44, George Jones, The Grand Tour.
What a song. What a song.
We've talked about it 5,000 times, so I don't really have to get into it.
Yeah.
It's an amazing song about a guy he's showing people around the house where his wife died, so it's great.
Yeah.
Number 43, Buck Owens and the Buckaroos Act Naturally.
Yep.
Can never go wrong with some Buck fucking Owens.
Yeah, I love this song because I think it's so clever where he's like, he talks about how he could do he could be in the movies for whatever reason because he could just have to act naturally because they just, like, he can just act like a fucking sad person because she left him or whatever. Yeah.
42, Loretta Lynn, The Coal Miner's Daughter.
Yep, that is a classic.
That is her song, so yeah.
Yep. Yeah, it's yeah. You think of Coal Miner's Daughter, that's her.
Yep. Number 41 is Townes Van Zandt's Poncho and Lefty. So obviously.
Yep. What a time. But all, you know, no offense, Townes, but thank God Willie and Merle doing it because it incredible.
Which, as we've said many, many, many times, the greatest concert moment of all time was when we saw Merle and Willie play this live
in
Texas.
That's the kind of shit that you're going to remember forever, because it was...
That is our Kane County at $5 County Fair.
It was just a little bit more expensive than that.
And we had to fly. Number 40 is Graham Parsons' $1,000 Wedding. I'm not sure I know that one.
Nope.
39, Casey Musgraves, Follow Your Arrow.
Yep,
I understand it.
Yes.
It's like with Welcome to the Future, I understand the cultural significance of it.
Yeah, and I like it a lot. I really do. But
it's a fantastic song.
Yeah, it's just not one that I would rank that high, but I do really, I really enjoy it. So, and if she's going to be on the list, I'm not going to be too upset about that. It's just kind of like, really, it's more of
a fucking high horse.
Well, and it's just really, you know, we already said Folsom Prison Blues, so the fact that we're saying this many songs after, it's kind of like, I don't know about that.
Yeah. 38, Patsy Montana's I Want to Be a Cowboy Sweetheart. I don't know this one.
Nope. Hannah Montana?
Yep. 37, George Jones and Tammy Wynette's Golden Ring. Talked about it on the George Jones episode. It's a great song.
So good.
A ring. 36 is Aw Snap, Something Went Wrong While Displaying His Webpage.
What a time to be 36 alive.
36 is Hank Williams' Lost Highway.
Yeah, this is great.
Yeah. Don't have much to add. Hank Williams, obviously one of the pioneers of country music.
The amount of shit that he got done while still dying extremely young is crazy.
Yeah, exactly. 35, The Everly Brothers' Bye Bye Love. It's not as good as Bye Bye Birdie, but you know, you can't all be
worse. Oh, God! Hold on. I think my headphones might have died.
Do you hear me through the mic then?
Yeah, you're coming out of the my phone. Yep, it's dead.
Oh, shit.
All right, hold up. Hold up. Hey.
Everyone, let's all go to the lobby. Let's all go to the lobby. Let's all go to the lobby to buy ourselves a drink.
Let's all go to the lobby. Let's all go to the lobby. Yeah, okay, we're good now. But we should go to the lobby.
Perhaps you need some more farts!
All right. Number 34 is the Carter Family's Wildwood Flower. I don't know.
This, they're also super back in the day.
Yeah.
Pioneers, I mean, like, of country.
Yeah, like, I don't listen to the Carter Family. I know they're, you know, historically huge, but they're not one I listen to.
Well, it's also, you know, kind of hard to listen to, you know, music that was released almost 100 years ago.
Yeah, exactly. Number 33, Porter Wagoner's A Satisfied Mind.
This is a classic that is definitely on the quadruple CD set thing that we listened to on the way to Hayward. So, love it.
Was it...
It was. I'm pretty sure Porter Wagoner was the one in Tales from the Tour Bus where they said they had a really big dong. Pretty sure.
I need to watch that again. I need to add Skinamax my Hulu thing for the week.
I don't. Yeah, and I don't remember which episode it was. So I'm just gonna have to rewatch them all because they're great.
That's so funny. It's yeah, definitely have to watch that again. Number 32 is Mississippi Chic Sitting on Top of the World.
Nope.
No idea. I mean, the name sounds familiar, but I can't think of it off the top of my head. 31, Hank Williams, Your Cheatin' Heart. Obviously another fucking classic. So good.
Absolutely. So that's good. That's probably my, like, the one that I think of the most with Hank Williams, I think.
Yeah. That and, what the fuck? I can't think of it. Hey, Good Looking, that one.
Oh, yeah, I mean, absolutely. But I think of Jimmy Buffett when I think of that, though, so.
Of course you do. Jimmy Buffett is Proud Boy garbage.
I love Jimmy Buffett, and I will never apologize.
Anyway, 30 is Farron Young's Hello Walls. I don't know this one.
I think this is on the four-disc CD thing that we went to Hayward. It is a classic.
Number 29 is Jimmy Rogers' Blue Yodel Number 1, parentheses T for Texas. So I'm guessing it's T for Texas, which is Waylon covered.
Yeah, I don't know for sure, but I know of this dude because later on there's also going to be Blue Yodel Number 9, which is the song that Colter Wall references in 13 Silver Dollars.
Yeah. 28, Hank Williams' I Saw the Light, obviously a classic religious
absolutely.
Song.
Absolutely.
It's also what was the name of the
movie
Hiddleston
about
movie,
him,
I think.
That apparently sucked, which is disappointing.
Which sucks, yeah, I know, because it's such a good premise, and he looks just fucking like him.
It's one of those that I feel like I will still watch one day if it randomly comes across, like, Amazon Prime is free. Like, I'll probably watch it that way, but I'm not going to seek it out.
Yeah, definitely same. 27, that's what we're on, right? Yeah, 27 is Johnny Fire's Ring of Fire. Johnny Cash's Ring of Fire.
Johnny Fire's Ring of Cash.
It's a great cover.
There's definitely an alternate universe of Earth where there's a guy named Johnny Fire, and he had a song called The Ring of Cash, and it's out there somewhere. Somewhere in the universe. And then it's just a trap beat in the background because it's actually a ghetto rap song.
Corn dog, 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 corn dog. 26 is Dixie Chicks' Goodbye Earl. I actually don't listen
murder
to Dixie Chicks, so I'm
ballad.
Not sure if I know this one.
It's a murder ballad.
The only Dixie Chicks song I know is Traveling Soldier, and that's just because it was on Aaron Lewis's album, sang by his daughter.
Yeah, honestly, I don't know that many of them, but I do know this one because I listened to it when I was thinking about murder ballads.
Thinking about murdering?
Yeah, murdering. And then singing while I murder.
25, Johnny Paychecks, Take This Job and Shove It.
Oh, yes. What a guy.
Classic. 24 is, aw snap, something went wrong while displaying this webpage.
God damn it. It's almost like they don't want us to read their article.
Yeah, seriously. If I had to hate Rolling Stone anymore. 24 yeah. is garbage. It's Taylor Swift's mean.
Yeah, see, that I didn't want to, you know, give the news away as we were counting down here, but every time that we get to a classic, I just was sitting there thinking about, and these fucks put mean at like 30-something or like 20-something. Are you shitting me?
So stupid. Like, I'd understand, like, that fucking love song that she does, or like Tim McGraw, like I don't think they should. Don't get me wrong. I don't think it should be above any of these songs. But like in terms of classic Taylor Swift, I'd understand those more than mean. Like
this song bugs the shit out of me too, because while she's making a point about like, you know, bullying and all that on all that shit, the end of it where she's just like, "Oh, you're gonna be as mean," just sounds like a middle schooler. Just trying to have an argument, and it really bugs me, because if she was trying to be like a little poignant, I don't think coming off like a middle schooler is really the go-to.
Yeah. Anyway, 23's Lefty Frazzle. Lefty Frazzle. If you've got the money, I've got the time.
Oh, let me tell you about how much I love this song. This
you don't.
Is
moving on.
So like I've been saying, this is also on the 4-disc CD thing when we go up to Hayward, and this is one of my favorites on the whole pack of songs, because it is like, I mean, like the line is, "If you've got the money, honey, I've got the time, we'll go honky tonkin', we'll have a time." It's a classic. It's so good.
Nice. Number 22 is Ernest Tubbs Walking the Floor Over You, which makes me think that's why Chris Shiflett named his podcast Walking the Floor.
That's exactly why, yes. Because Ernest Tubb.
Did not put that together.
Yep.
Number 21.
And that's why in the song he says, "Set him up, Joe, and play Walking the Floor."
There you go. That makes sense.
Nah, mean.
All coming together. I'm like the cop at the end of The Usual Suspects.
To be fair, it is impossible to like understand this many layers of things. Like especially like something that's that old that gets referenced that many layers of like especially Jamie Johnson covering the song "Set 'Em Up, Joe," which is then referencing the Ernest Tubb song. It's like there's a lot of layers here.
Exactly. Number 21 is the Carter Family's "Can the Circle Be Unbroken?" This is a huge one that everyone should fucking
know. I know that one. Yeah.
Yeah. And I mean, obviously everyone knows I'm a huge fucking nerd, but to get super nerdy on it, they sing this in BioShock Infinite, and which is fantastic.
Yeah. What a game that is.
I know. I need to play those fucking games again. They're so good.
Mm-hmm.
Number 20's "I'm gonna kiss you right in the mouth, Kenny Rogers,
the
gambler."
The clown has no penis. Got a dreams you guys having.
"Kiss you right in the mouth, Kenny Rogers." But yeah, so everyone knows this fucking song. Yeah, he did a Geico classic commercial about it or whatever, and
it's a one that everyone knows for sure.
Even though obviously "Pick 'em, lick 'em, stick 'em's better.
David Allen Coe. What a time.
Number 19 is Loretta Lynn's "Don't Come Home a Drinking with Lovin' on Your Mind." I know this one, definitely. It's just leaving my mind right now, but it's
Loretta. I can't think of it, to be honest.
Can't go wrong with it. Number 18, George Strait's "All My Exes Live in Texas."
Yeah.
George.
"All my exes live in Texas."
Yeah, this is obviously one of the most famous George Strait songs, and obviously George has to be on this list at least.
Oh, 100%. And I think it's, you know, it's a good choice, you know, taking one of the older classic George songs and being like, this was something.
Yep. Number 17, Bob Wills and his Texas Playboys, "New San Antonio Rose."
Bob Wills is still the king.
Huh?
That's the Waylon song.
Cutting that.
Hit my fans.
Guess what? Aw snap. something went wrong while displaying this webpage.
Oh, man. What a tremendous piece
of shit.
Happy 100
episode.
Yeah, 100 episodes of technical difficulties and just general stupidness. You're welcome, world.
Exactly. Yep. Number 16 is Glenn Campbell's Wichita Lineman.
Oh, yeah. It's a great one. A great song.
Okay, I don't know if you heard me or not.
This is all... Yeah, no, I could, but I wasn't sure if I was ever going to be back to be able to, like, actually answer, and so I was like, I'm just going to keep waiting. But great song. I always honestly think of the part from Parks and Rec where Ron is stealing cable so they can watch Leslie's speech on the TV, and he's just singing Wichita Lineman as he steals the cable.
I need to watch that show again, too. So great.
Tom put all of my records on this rectangle. It is an excellent rectangle.
Anyway, number 15 is Kitty Wells' It Wasn't God Who Made Honky Tonk Angels. I'm not sure if I know this one, actually.
I don't think I do.
I might know it. Who knows? Number 14, Hank Williams' Set in the Woods on Fire. This is where Smokey the Bear came from.
Hank Williams is directly responsible for the current Amazon wildfire.
Exactly. God damn it. Hashtag Trump fault.
Number
13, Bill Monroe and the Bluegrass Boys, Blue Moon of Kentucky. I definitely heard this one referenced at the very least, if I don't know the song itself.
Yeah, I couldn't tell you, to be honest. It's in that where I'm like, I have heard people talk about this, but eh.
So much porn downloading.
Yeah, it's like especially bad right now. So that's good.
Well, we're almost there. Good. Number 12, Buck Owens and the Buckaroos. I've got a tiger by the tail. Not toe. Got a tiger by the tail. Anyway.
Toe-tail.
Tail-toe. I don't know if I know this one, but it's Buck Owens.
I don't think I do. Buck Owens is great.
Number 11, Stanley Brothers, Man of Constant Sorrow.
Oh, yes.
I'm actually very surprised that they put this on there, since it's mostly just known as the fucking Coen Brothers, Oh Brother, Where Art Thou song.
See, but I think that's where a lot of people would contend that they don't think of it only as the Oh Brother, Where Art Thou song. Although, people of our generation, it certainly makes sense in that capacity.
Yeah, fair enough. But that is a fantastic fucking song, though. I'm definitely
It's incredible.
Definitely not down that. Number 10... Finally getting some good boys in here is Waylon Jennings and
way to fuck it up.
Waylon and Willie's Mamas Don't Let Your Babies Grow Up to Be Cowboys. Obviously fucking classic song, so yeah.
No. It's one of the best. I agree with the placement on the list.
Yeah, only one thing I could think of better than this song, and that's Aw Snap, Something Went Wrong While Displaying This Webpage.
Yeah, I could say that the feelings that I feel for that are very similar to the feelings that I feel towards that song in terms of magnitude of feel.
Exactly. Anyway, number 9, moving on, is Dolly Parton's Jolene. So, yeah, obviously.
Jolene.
Shit, fucking Megan doesn't even like country music and she loves this song. So,
because it's a jam.
That's just how you know everyone fucking loves Jolene. It is an amazing, amazing, amazing song.
Yes. Also agree on its placement on the list.
Yeah. Number 8, which is obviously another great spot for another great song, is Merle Haggard's Mama Tried.
Yes, Merle.
You can't go four country songs without hearing it referenced in it, so.
Yeah, it's you could say it's a tad bit influential.
Yeah, just a little bit.
Yeah, love Merle, love it, love the spot, love it.
I didn't expect to see this name on the list, but number 7 is Ray Charles' You Don't Know Me.
Yeah, I remember reading this, and I was surprised by that, because
he's more soul.
Know it? Well, yeah, it's soul and you know, some R&B, jazz,
pop.
Yeah, and so he's obviously an incredible musician, but I didn't realize he had made a song that people called a country song.
Yeah.
So I am excited to check that one out.
Word. Number six, Tammy Wynette, Stand By Your Man. Obviously a huge...
Stand By Your Man.
I can't remember where it was. It might have been... I don't remember where it was. I watched it. They were talking about how she released this during kind of like a huge feminist wave in the 60s where it's like, fuck men, women are the power. And then she really has the audacity to release a song of like, no, Stand By Your Man. Like,
yeah, I think it was...
all the feminists were like...
Wasn't it... Was it not part of Tales from the Tour Bus? And they mentioned that?
It might have been. It might have
but
been.
I also feel like I've watched a different documentary about them, too. But I don't know. I can't keep my keep my life together.
Yeah, I'm not sure. But, yeah, I mean, it's a fantastic fucking song. So, number five is a song referenced by Colter Wall in Searching Silver Dollars. Is Jimmy Rogers Standing on the Corner, in parentheses, Blue Yodel number 9.
Yeah, so it's very similar, well, I guess to the correct way to say it is that 13 Silver Dollars is very similar to this song because it's the same sort of getting arrested by the cops and not having much and just kind of saying, fuck you, I ain't need nothing.
If you want to know how liberally annoying Rolling Stone is, they have the article or the paragraph for this one stars, by 1930, the tuberculosis-stricken former railroad worker and blackface performer Jimmy Rogers.
Don't you forget it.
Yeah, he's blackface, so hashtag canceled. Number four is George Jones, He Stopped Loving Her Today.
Yeah.
Surprised it's actually at number four.
I know. But... it's incredible, but, you know. What else can you say? It's incredible.
Number three, Hank Williams, I'm So Lonely, or I'm So Lonesome I Could Cry.
Yeah, that's a fucking classic that for sure, I feel like there are so many people that are trying to write this song, you know? Like, they just change the word slightly and just try to write this song with the original is just powerful.
Yeah. Number two, I was actually surprised. I was wondering where this song was going to be on the list, and so finally it's here. It's number two, Patsy Cline's Crazy.
Oh, yeah.
I knew, I was like, how is it not on this list? And then we get to it finally. I was like, okay. I was going to say, there's no top 100 country list without Crazy. Patsy Cline's Crazy. Yeah, it's such a fan. It's, yeah,
the
it's
piano in the background.
And of course, it's also the legacy of she's one of those who died. And it was an airplane accident, right? Airplane crash?
I don't know, to be honest.
I want to say it was an airplane crash, but I could be wrong. But she died young, and she was always, you know, historic for that. But
yeah, absolutely.
I would have chosen another song by him, but number one is Johnny Cash's I Walk the Line.
Yeah.
He has so many more. The only reason this is that iconic is because of the movie, in my opinion, at least.
I think it's the movie, but it's also just kind of like the statement that it makes, and it like just resonates, and it's just like it's almost like a campaign slogan that can live forever kind of thing, you know? So I get the choice in that way. But yeah, I think it's a great, and it's a classic, and oh snap. Thank God we're done with the list.
Something went wrong while displaying this webpage.
Well, thank God we're done with that fucking list.
Yeah. But yeah, I definitely get that, but I just think there's so many better Johnny Cash songs, but I do get it with the meaning of the song and all that. I guess I do understand that part of it.
Yeah.
But yeah. Anyway, so that's the top 100 songs of all time, according to Rolling Stone. Awesome.
In 2014.
Something went wrong with the, yeah, in 2014. Maybe one day we'll do our top 100 of all time, make that like a 5-part episode or something. And
it would be fun. It would be fun to try to do.
Just because then we can have a Cody Jinks fucking song on there.
Well, yeah, it's just it's hard to think about like ranking that much stuff.
Mm-hmm.
So it's much easier just to see someone else's list and then try to either shit on it or praise it.
yeah, exactly. Thankfully, there's only one Taylor Swift song on there.
The location of it makes no sense, though. I'll never forgive them.
Uh-oh, I forgot to... Oh, hold on.
You forgot to oh snap? Right,
we got to just... I forgot to look up a number one country song. Number one.
Oh, shit.
Songs.
Pick a random year.
All right. We're going to go this year with... Hold on. I got to find the Wikipedia page. All right. We're going to go... pick a decade.
1980s.
1980s. Pick a year.
88.
88. I think we've done 88, but it was obviously a couple. It was a while ago. So, all right, let's see. In 1988, on what day is it?
The 28th.
August 28th of this week. So the number one song of this week, but not from this year because this year is terrible, is August 28th. We'll go 27th. Is Eddie Rabbit's The Wanderer. I don't know the song.
Well, you cut out completely, so I didn't even hear it, but I bet I don't know it either.
Eddie Rabbit's The Wanderer.
Nope.
And now you're frozen.
Well, that's good.
Oh, yeah, we did this one 2 weeks ago because 2 weeks ago was Keith Whitley's Don't Close Your Eyes.
So we did
this year.
Nice.
All right, let's try another year.
Well,
1982.
All right.
Let's see. 1982, August 28th is... Oh, there we go. George Strait's Fool-Hearted Memory.
Oh, there we go. What a classic.
I'm going to have to listen to that other one. But yeah, Fool-Hearted Memory is obviously a classic Strait song. So it's so funny how many times like George Strait or Brooks and Dunn or Alan Jackson pop up when we look at number ones.
Oh, absolutely, because they made a lot of great music.
Yeah. All right, so albums that came out last week, there were a lot of good ones. First up is definitely the one I've listened to the most, is Dalton Domino's Song from the Exile, or Songs from the Exile.
Yeah, it's incredible. It is really good.
Fantastic, and Dalton Domino's great. Yeah.
Absolutely, it makes you feel all the feels.
But yeah, next is Vince Gill's Okie. It's also great.
Haven't gotten into it yet. It's
fantastic and so underrated. Midland's Let It Roll. I didn't listen to too much of it, but
haven't gotten to it either.
I'm assuming it's decent because even though there are a bunch of phonies, they make good music.
Oh, absolutely. The recorded shit's incredible.
Yeah. Next is Jason Hawk Harris's Love in the Dark. So good.
One was so good. I did not know of this guy, I don't think, until this. I don't believe. Maybe other song. I don't know.
Well, he had
the name kind of sounded familiar, but it wasn't one of those that, like, when I heard, I'm like, oh, that guy. I just heard him. Like, oh, shit, this is good.
We follow each other on Twitter. I talk with him a lot. But
oh, nice. He's incredible.
But yeah, no, he had an EP come out last year or the year before that we had talked about on the podcast briefly, but it's not on his music things anymore, which surprised me. I was like, why? That EP was so fucking good. But
interesting.
Yeah. Then, but yeah, that one's really fucking good. Everyone should listen to it. Tanya Tucker's While I'm Living. It's Tanya Tucker. It sounds like Tanya Tucker. Listen to it.
Damn right.
Next is Leslie Stevens Sinner. It's kind of a hippie folk type sound. It's good, though.
Nice.
American Young, Soundtrack of Your Life. It's a little contemporary sounding, but it's not like pop contemporary. It's like what sounds like 2010s country, actual country.
Gotcha.
It's good. And then Esther. Probably.
What are you trying to? I gotta know what the letters are to figure out what the hell you're doing here.
Esther. Esther. I'm guessing Esther.
I'm pretty sure that's how you spell the name Esther.
Esther. You made it this far. It's also a fantastic album you should listen to. So what are you doing? What are you watching? What are you seeing? Who are you banging?
Nobody. I have been listening to my Rustin Kelly vinyls a whole hell of a lot, cause they're great. And now that I have Halloween on vinyl, it's awesome.
There you go.
Big fan.
Nice. I accidentally just paused my recording, so I had to start it again. But you were talking, so it doesn't matter.
No, we nailed it.
I'll
professional.
Just have to match it back up.
100 God. Episodes of doing this. We're only getting better.
Yeah, right. Anyway, I was gonna say not country related, but Death Note you just finished and I've been thinking about
yes.
a lot and I have to rewatch it. So obviously this has nothing to do with country, and if you're like anime's fucking gay, fuck you. Death Note is fucking amazing and you
Yeah, it was really good. I started watching One Punch Man.
Yeah, I got a few episodes into it. It's actually pretty funny.
It's hilarious.
It's like, did you see the one where he's like, "You're gonna be, I'm gonna go on a rampage for a week."
And yeah,
he's like, a week, but that means it's Saturday, which means next week's Saturday, which means I missed the sale.
I loved it because he was just like, "Oh no, I might have just made an inadvertent mistake," and then you're like, "Oh no, what? This is finally gonna be something that happens." You're just like, he said until next Saturday, which means today's also Saturday. Which means, no! I loved it.
Yeah,
and then, like, all the times now people I know say people stuff, and he's just like, huh?
So now I understand why the internet fucking loves that show. It is hilarious. But in terms of music, I've actually two bands I was listening to today that I forgot about and I love. First is Wolfie's Just Fine, which is John Lajoie's band, which everyone should listen to. It's great folk music, which I think we should do an episode on it eventually because they're really good. But the other band I was listening to was Green River Ordinance, and God, I forgot how good those guys are.
Mm-hmm. And they're pretty good for sure.
Yeah, definitely gonna have to do an episode on them because their two latest albums, which they haven't had one come out in a while, which is sad, but their two latest albums are country albums, and they're so good, and everyone should check out them. I didn't write it down, but I have it memorized because it's easy. We got an email that just said, "Recommendation, David Allan Coe, please." So I guess we have to do a David Allan Coe episode eventually.
All right.
We'll do a Legends episode on him because obviously he's a legend. But you can find
us. And he loves Robin Banks.
I love Robin Banks. God, I still remember when we first heard that song. Yep. We were just up in Hayward in the truck, I don't know, moving the boat or something, and the radio just comes on. It's just, "I love Robin Banks." We're like, "What
Lord,
is this
I
song?
Love
it
Robin
is amazing."
We're like, "Yeah, no, that changed that song changed my life. I've listened to it no less than 200 times since then."
it's fantastic. Anyway, you can find us at countryhodgepodge.com, Instagram, Facebook, and Twitter, Country Hodgepodge. Also on Instagram, you can find Unbearable Pod, which is going to be our football pod coming out next week. Looking forward to that. It's going to be a lot of fun because we love talking football. But you can find us on – and that actually podcast you can find on pretty much anything you could find podcasts on except Apple. That hasn't been accepted yet, which makes me sad. But it'll eventually be on there. And you can find on Spotify the Hodgepodgecast Picks, where we upload all the songs we talk about. I'm not uploading these 100 songs to it, but the other songs from the other 99 fucking episodes. Kevin's Picks of the Week, where every week he uploads 10 songs you should listen to, or every month, or every year, or every whatever.
Every
it's on the link
Fortnite.
To the website. It's on a link to the website. Sometimes I tweet it out. Sometimes, or it's on the... it's on Spotify if you search the username Donkey Factory. Also, every Friday when the albums come out, I add them to a playlist called This Month in Country, where you can listen to every album that comes out this month. And then at the end of the month, they get added to 2019 in Country, where you can listen to every album that's come out this year. And then we're going to talk about them at the end of the year, and it's going to be fun. You can buy our dumb shirts on a link through the website or at tpublic.com, the White Claw Country. Two of them are still up, so you can get those. One of them did get taken down, sadly. Fuck Nashville's up there. Had a couple people buy that one.
Yeah.
I think it's a great one. Also, one picture of the sticker on the guitar that made my day.
Yeah.
So thank you for that. Kevin's on Twitter at @CHP_Church, where he bitches about football and why he's single.
It's a hard life.
Rate and review the podcast on iTunes. It's also found on SoundCloud or Stitcher if you want to check it out there. I think soon I'm going to try and get this moved over to the same hosting place that Unbearable's on, because then we can get on other places to listen to as well. I actually really like that website. And you don't have to fucking pay for it, unlike SoundCloud.
Nice.
So that's it for this week. Next week, in the starting off the new 100, we're going to start off with Sam Hunt, obviously.
Yeah.
So until next week, I'm Steve Hodge, as always, joined by Kevin Hodge, saying goodbye, good night, and good Charlotte.
Aww.
All right, boys, ride's over.
That was the dumbest ride I've ever seen. Yeah, what the hell kind of carnival company are you? I don't know what you guys are talking about. That scared the crap out of me. That was a waste of money, Cartman.